The word should be coming up on the screen. Ephesians 4, verse 17. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. This is God's words. And let us give a big warm welcome tonight to Bill Bygraves from Bridge Chapel. Welcome, Bill.
Good evening. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 32. What does holiness look like? Number one, it looks like a new walk. Number two, it looks like a new wardrobe. Number three, it looks like a new way. Believe me, there are no great men or women of God. There never has been. There never will be. There is only a great God who saves great sinners by his great grace. The man I want to tell you about believed that passionately. He was intensely spiritual and perfectly natural and absolutely practical. He was an agent of God's omnipotence, the mouthpiece of the Almighty, anointed and appointed of heaven, to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ, and so effective in his ministry that hundreds of people came to saving faith in Christ. And yet, though his public ministry moved the masses, his friends and those who knew him best said that his brightest, clearest, loveliest sermon of all was his life. He said, study universal holiness of life. Your whole effectiveness depends upon it. That's what he wrote to a ministerial friend. He said as he prayed, Lord, make me as holy as it is possible for a pardoned sinner to be. He wrote, it is not great gifts that God blesses. It is likeness unto Jesus. You see, he knew that your sermon could last an hour, but your life can preach the whole week through. He knew like you do. We'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. We'd rather someone walk with us than merely point the way. For our eyes are better pupils, far more willing than our ears. Fine counsel is confusing, but example always clear. And the best of all the preachers are the ones who live their creed. And to see our faith in action, that's what the people need. For we might misunderstand all the fine advice you give, but we won't misunderstand how you act and how you live. His name was Robert Murray McShane. He died when he was 29 years of age. Imagine that. And yet he served Christ in his brief but bright life and shone for him, hankering and longing to be like Jesus. 6,000 people attended his funeral. As the coffin was taken through the town, the factories and the shops closed. Grown men were seen to be weeping. On his gravestone, you can find these words: Robert Murray McShane, walking closely with God, an example of the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. He ceased not day and night to labor and watch for souls. And he was honored of the Lord to draw many wanderers out of darkness into the path of life. When the Apostle Paul arrived in Ephesus, he preached in the power of the Holy Spirit. In the period of time that he was there, he caused a riot. But he also left a redeemed community of men and women who'd been brought out of darkness into light, from death to life, from the power of Satan brought unto God, changed from the broad way to the narrow way. When in Rome, he wrote a letter to the church left in Ephesus. He wrote to them about the unsearchable riches of Christ. He said, "You are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God in the Trinity of his persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has set his love upon sinners." In case you didn't get the message last night, you are loved. If you are in Christ, you're the apple of his eye. You're the treasure of his heart. You're the object of his love. You're the subject of his grace from all eternity to all eternity. God the Father chose you. God the Son purchased you with his blood. God the Holy Spirit called you and has sealed you. Not only so, when Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he said, "You were dead in trespasses and sins, but you've been made alive. You've been saved by grace alone, through faith alone." Wonderful. And in the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians, he writes about the riches which are ours in Christ. But then in the last three chapters, he writes about the responsibilities which are ours in Christ. That was ever Paul's way. Doctrine, then duty. Creed, then conduct. Belief, then behavior. Wrap your Bible in shoe leather. Walk it out. Live it out. He began in chapter 4 urging those believers in Ephesus to walk worthy of their calling. He told them to walk in humility and unity and maturity and in charity. And as he reaches verse 17 of chapter 4, he tells us what holiness looks like. Number one, it looks like a new walk. "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. Do you want to know what holiness looks like? It looks like a new walk. Paul exhorts the believers there in Ephesus not to walk as unbelievers walk, as pagans walk, but walk as those who are taught by Christ, those who are in Christ, with a changed mindset and a changed lifestyle. You're not to walk as the pagans walked, in the futility of their minds. Life under the sun, with God left out. Vanity. All is vanity. You don't know why you're here, what life's all about, where you're going. You don't even know if there is a God, and how can we know him? Where is heaven? How can we get there? And we were once like that. Paul says, no longer walk that way. Not only so, their understanding was darkened. The lights were switched off in our understanding. We went from darkness to darkness by the way of darkness. Why? Because we were controlled by the prince of darkness. Not only so, we were alienated from the life of God because of ignorance. Cut off from our Creator. Do you remember that? What did the Lord say through the prophet Isaiah? The Lord's arm is not so short that it cannot save, nor is ear deaf that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have made the separation between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from him so that he does not hear. We were alienated. Not only so, we had hardness of heart. Think about that. Not just ignorant, but hard in heart, callous, petrified, literally, defiant, resistant, willful, and not just the mindset that needs to change, but the lifestyle needs to change. Given up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. I remind you that Ephesus was Sin City. It was the occult capital of the world. I remind you that the worship of Diana of the Ephesians was like a legalized orgy. Sensuality, at its worst, impurity, unbridled obscenity. Don't walk like that. Don't live like that. Don't behave like that. Have a new walk with a change of mindset and a change of lifestyle. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. Yes, it was the Apostle Paul who was the mouthpiece, but was the Lord Jesus Christ himself by his Spirit who opened their eyes, who stopped their ears, who opened their hearts, who quickened them and brought them from death to life, from the kingdom of Satan unto God. It was the Lord Jesus Christ by his Spirit who taught them. And they were in him. That's a favorite phrase of Paul. In Christ. That's what a Christian is. Christ in you and us in him. Joined to Christ in him. United in his life and death and burial and resurrection and ascension. You were taught differently. You were taught the truth as it is in Jesus. It's a new walk. With a change of mind and a change of life. Do you want to know what holiness looks like? Number two, it's a new wardrobe. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Put off the rags of sin. Put on the robes of grace. You've been created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. I remind you that when you and I became united to Christ, a righteousness was credited to our account. He who knew no sin for our sakes became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Quite literally, all our vileness was covered by his virtue. All our uncleanness was covered by his holiness. All our undoneness, unworthiness, unfitness, we were clothed in his glorious, beautiful righteousness. What a wonderful truth that is. But it's not just the imputed righteousness of Christ. It is the practical righteousness of Christ. We are to put off our old self, our former manner of life, which is corrupt through deceitful desires. We are to be renewed in the spirit of our minds and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Notice again how the Apostle Paul addresses the mind. I remind you what he wrote to the Romans. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I remind you what he wrote to the Philippians. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, any praise, think on these things. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. We need renewed minds. And as our minds are saturated with the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ, revealed by his Spirit in the Scriptures, not only will we enjoy that imputed righteousness credited to our account because of our union with Christ, but we'll take off the rags and we'll put on the robes. We'll take off the rags of sin, of corruption, of deceitful desires, and we'll put on those robes of grace, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Remember what Paul wrote to the Corinthians? If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. We ought to live that way. As a young Christian, I went to a church. I was introduced to two men's men. They were brothers. One was called Colin, the other was called Arthur. I liked them. Colin played football till he was 52. He worked in the post office. Arthur worked in the Liverpool meat market, in St. John's Market. He was a butcher. Each one of these brothers invited me to their home. A surprising thing happened. When I went to Arthur's home, it wasn't long before he started telling me about his dad. They had lived by the docks there in Liverpool. He said, my dad sailed in sailing ships. And in every port, he was drunk. When he came back, we'd have to fetch him out of the pub. But then one day, having heard the truth as it's found in Jesus, he repented of his sins, came to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And he would give a testimony. I have seen beer bottles turned into furniture. Then I went to Colin's house. It wasn't long after being at his house that he would say, my dad, Jack, sailed the seven seas. He was always drunk and unkept. Mother used to send us to fetch him from the from the boozer. But then he met Christ. His testimony was, I have seen beer bottles turned into furniture. His whole life was changed. He'd been born again of the Spirit of God. His desires had changed. Not only so, he looked different. Fellows would say, hey, Jack, see, you've got a new suit. See, you're taking the kids to church. Oh, don't worry about the suit on the man. Look at the new man in the suit. He'd been born again of the Spirit of God, transformed. He wasn't what he would be, but we will be what we would be, and we shall be what we should be, and things which are not now, nor could be, then will be our own. And though positional righteousness is ours, practical righteousness, the putting off and the putting on, the change of wardrobe, that's what holiness looks like. Putting on Jesus, his beauty, his life, his word, his grace. In true righteousness and holiness. Number three, if you want to know what holiness looks like, it looks like a new way. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. You hardly need a commentary on this. It is so clear. This is the new way. It is the way of truth-telling. It is the way of righteous anger. It is the way of honesty and sharing. It is the way of gracious speech. It is the way of Holy Spirit Christ-likeness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. The devil is called the father of lies. Jesus said to very religious people, seemingly upright people, church attending people, you're like your father, the devil. Of course, Christians struggle with lies. Abraham did. He was the friend of God. Jacob did. He was a prince with God. God called himself the God of Jacob. David did. He lived a lie for a whole year. Peter did, didn't he? Because this process of sanctification requires us taking off and putting on. It is a lifelong struggle. But, says Paul, this is the way. It's the Jesus way. Put away falsehood. Speak the truth. Never forget, a half-truth spoken as a whole truth is in fact an untruth. Those of you into hyperbole, into exaggerated speech, do not lie. As a boy, we had a tin bath. My mother would get some green stuff and put it in my hair and get a fine tooth comb. She would get a block of carbolic soap and a scrubbing brush, try to scrub the grime out of me. I never forget telling a lie. You tell a lie again, and I'll scrub your mouth out. You don't lie to your family. We're members one of another. Put away falsehood. Let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Give no place or opportunity to the devil. I remind you that the Bible says that God is angry with the wicked. Wickedness is something to be angry about. I remind you that our Lord Jesus Christ took a whip in his hand, turned over the tables. My house shall be called a house of prayer. You've made it a den of thieves. There is righteous anger. We do need some fire in our belly concerning sin. But it's righteous anger. Any other anger, I remind you, is one letter short of danger. Mr. Short Fuse. Mrs. Quick on the Draw. Mr. and Mrs., I'll blow your head off if you disagree with me. Believe what I believe, no more, no less, that I am right, and no one else confess. Say what I say, do what I do, and then I might fellowship with you. And if I don't, I'll get an axe and split hers. And I will put you in your place. I've known Christians whose tongue is sharper than a razor, whose tongue is more deadly than a bullet, who think they can blow their top. Oh, no. And what about honesty and sharing? Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Of course, it would be easy, wouldn't it, to steal when you were poor. They came to faith in Christ. Paul says, don't steal anymore. Don't take what doesn't belong to you. No. Labor. Do honest work with your own hands so that we may have something to share with anyone in need. Instead of becoming a thief, be honest, be hardworking, and share. There was a man, some thought him mad. The more he gave, the more he had. Start giving. Start living above the integrity line. Not on it, not below it, above it. Not only so, but gracious speak. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Boy, I remember telling a story to the children. It was the story of Mrs. Looselips, who lived at Badmouth Manor. And Mrs. Looselips had to learn a lesson. Boys and girls, bigger boys and girls, here it is. Remember the think-link. Before you speak, think. T, is it true? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? K, is it kind? And even if it's true, it's not helpful or inspiring or necessary or kind. It'll be like the lady who came to the pastor and said, oh, I've been under the conviction of the Holy Spirit about my tongue, the slander, the gossip, the malicious speech, my narrowness, my negativity, my nastiness. Oh, said the pastor, don't worry. Do you have a pillow? Does it have feathers in? Go home, get your pillow, put a feather on every step of every person you've slandered. She did it. She came back. Oh, I feel so much better. Good, he said, now go and pick it all up. But it's gone. When it's spoken, it's gone. No, let your speech be edifying, building up, encouraging. Gracious speech, giving grace to those who hear. I would like you to be a Barnabas in your church. And if you're a lady, a Barnabette. A son and daughter of encouragement. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. That man Colin I told you about used to speak in the open air. It was in Toxteth, the Dingle. They said you played tick with hatchets there. It was a tenement block. He would stand in the middle of the tenement block and he would speak. He would say, I have seen beer bottles turned into furniture. People would come out. A family there was converted. He was telling me that very often in the tenement block, there would be those who were saying, I'm getting off this ship because the captain's mad. Very often someone would come and say, you're not paying your bills. Get out. Here we are. We're coming to this tenement block of our lives. And there are those in our lives, those things in our lives we must get rid of. Bitterness. Oh, what an ugly trait that is. I won't. Wrath and anger. Outbursts of wrath. Clamor. Loud and rude and crude and slander. Malice. Oh, Lord, deliver us. No, what we need is Holy Spirit, Christ-likeness. Be kind to one another. Kindness is the language the blind can see. The deaf can hear. The lame can leap to. Tender-hearted. Oh, beloved, are you tender in heart? Forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. I remind you, this way of holiness is not something natural. It's something supernatural. This is not by legislation, it's by transformation. It's the work of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. He it is who opens our eyes and ears and hearts. He it is who indwells us. He it is who changes us from glory to glory. When Paul wrote to the Galatians, he said, walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit. Bear the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, self-control, faith. Keep in step with the Spirit. When Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he said, be filled with the Spirit. When he prayed for the Ephesians, he prayed that they might be enlightened and enabled and equipped and empowered by the Spirit. He said, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. He wrote to the Thessalonians, don't quench the Holy Spirit. We need Spirit-filled Christ-likeness. Filled with your Spirit till all shall see Christ only, always, living in me. Do you want to know what holiness looks like? It looks like a new walk. In and with Christ. It looks like a new wardrobe. Not just the imputed righteousness of Christ, but the daily putting on of Him. It looks like a new way. A change in our behavior. When Robert Murray McShane used to speak about holiness, some people would be discouraged. It's easy to be discouraged, isn't it? So he said this. For every one look at yourself, take 10 looks at Jesus. That reminds me of the first Bishop of Liverpool, J.C. Ryle. A lady came to him and said, oh, I have no assurance. He said, go home and pray every day. Lord, show me myself. She did this. She prayed every day, Lord, show me myself. She came back even more discouraged. I see corruption, deceit. I see I'm a sinner by nature and by practice. Now go home and pray, Lord, show me thyself. She gazed upon the beauty of our Lord Jesus Christ, shining with incomprehensible beauty, and came back with assurance. For every one look at yourself, take 10 looks at Jesus. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect, sinless righteousness, the great, unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with my Lord, I cannot die. My soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ, my Savior and my God. Look to him. Fix your eyes on him. Walk with him. A new walk. Be clothed in his righteousness and put him on this new wardrobe and walk the way that he walked.